call where which was graciously organized to give us an opportunity for an exchange with the advisors of the cross-community working group on enhancing ICANN's accountability. So I'm pleased to see that we have Willie Curry on the line, as well as Roberto Bicchio. I think we may be joined by a couple others who had indicated they would be available. Jan Art, I think.
I'm here. I'm here, Martin.
Jan, you're here. Excellent. Excellent. And Nell Mino. Excellent. Thank you, Nell. So it's good to thank you very much for making yourself available. What we're planning to do during this call is to reiterate a little bit the main changes that are currently considered as the interim proposals from the cross-community working group, and then open the floor to you as advisors for obviously questions, remarks, comments, so that we can engage in a in a more structured conversation than only the individual comments, and obviously formal comments are also welcome. So if you agree with that, I will fix you. So we have Jan and Nell, you're not on the AC room. Is that correct?
Sorry? We are not
where?
Nell and Jan, are you able to see the presentation that is in the Adobe Connect room, or...?
Yes, I
need to enter the room, Mathieu. So I will just click on it, an OK. If someone lets me in, then I should be able to see.
Okay. So the presentation that's in this in the screens is the very short before after presentation that we came up with. So. The situation today is obviously that ICANN's board holds a number of competence, and there's obviously bylaws existing. There's an independent appeal mechanism that is existing within ICANN, and obviously there is a wider community which interacts with the board. And so I don't have control, so probably if Adam or Alice can go to the next slide. Our proposal from the accountability group start with empowering this community, so providing this community with strong powers to reject the budget, reject the strategic plan, reject a change on the bylaws, remove individual directors, or even recall the whole board, obviously as an ultimate measure. So that's the empowered community section of our proposals. Going to the next slide. Our proposal does incorporate some of the principles that are currently in the affirmation of commitment between ICANN and the U.S. government, and takes these principles and suggests that we put them into the ICANN bylaws, so they basically become enforceable whether or not this affirmation of commitment is maintained. And the other part which we would change in the principles is that we would suggest to create fundamental bylaws, sort of the core constitutional bylaws of ICANN, and this set of bylaws would have would require prior approval from the empowered community before being changed. So that's sort of an identification of what constitutes the constitution of ICANN. And if we go to the next slide, okay, our proposals also spent considerable attention to reinforcing the independent appeal mechanism by transforming it into a standing panel of 7 members, ensuring that the decisions of this panel are binding on ICANN, that this panel is more accessible in terms of cost, but also in terms of standing to be able to introduce a case to the IRP, and that the decision will review the merits of the case and not only whether ICANN has acted in compliance with due process. So with these changes, we think we are covering the 4 building blocks of ICANN's accountability, strengthening the constitution and the principles, strengthening the legislative power through the independent appeal mechanism, and strengthening the legislative power through the empowered community. So that's the big, idea behind this is, instead of creating a new layer of accountability above ICANN, is spreading the powers in a balance that is a classical balance that is well known at state levels, between executive, legislative, and judicial powers. So that's the main description of the proposals. To add to this, a couple of points on the current discussions taking place. There is a lot of attention being given to some of the implementation models that we're considering for the community powers. So far, the reference model is provides the creation of a group of 29 representatives from the different groups within ICANN, the supporting organizations and the advisory committees, and provides for and to have enforceability of its decisions in case the board would refuse the decision for instance, to reject a budget. The current proposal, reference proposal, would be to create, that each ASO and AC creates a non-incorporated association that in turn becomes officially a member of ICANN. So we hear a lot about transforming ICANN into a membership organization, but it's important to state that this would not be an open membership organization where everyone can join. It's about just adding a little touch of legal legal personhood to the current ASOs and ACs of ICANN in order to provide the right balance in terms of legal powers that would create the enforceability of the model. That's one of the key discussion points right now. Second area of discussion is, of course, so far the proposal has a balance of influence in the empowered community that includes all ASOs and ACs with various options. All of them do provide for a representation of governments, and we are aware that this creates some difficult. It may create some difficulties or concerns for governments to participate to such voting mechanisms, potentially create, give the GAC, the Government Advisory Committee, the authorization to create an association. Those are very difficult questions for governments that we know provide for important discussions. And there are various other topics around the other proposals that are being raised. I think that in terms of introduction, I would like not to be too long, but provide the opportunity to my fellow co-chairs, Thomas, Rickert. I don't know if Liam is on the call, actually, but Thomas is. To provide any additional information at this point?
This is Thomas. Hello, everybody. Mathieu, I think you did a sterling job, so I have nothing to add at the moment.
But this is Liam, and
thanks,
I support fully Thomas. I think you did a great job, and I have nothing else to add.
Well, thank you. Thank you, both of you. And so with that, I think the best we could do now is open for questions, comments from advisors, and so that we provide you with the details you need or can discuss about your specific proposals. And Camus, I noted your hand was raised, and I'm willing to give you the floor. But just want to note that for this call, I'd like to I will have a bias towards advisor input when managing the queue. But obviously, if you have a point of order or anything, you're welcome to make it now. No? Okay, I see your hands down. So maybe Roberto?
Yes, the question I have at this stage is whether you are expecting a collective position of the advisors as a group, or just we have the right to comment on the proposal like everybody else.
Thank you very much, Roberto. That's a very good question. I think individual comments are welcome, and we encourage you, if you have individual submissions, to provide them as well through the official channel so they can be shared with the overall community. And if they're was a common view of advisors, obviously it would be also very useful to stress that out in the either through the public comment or through the channel of communication of the co-chairs to the CCWG. But I think both options are open, and we should obviously recognize that there might be diverging views between advisors as well. That happens within our group, and I guess that can happen within an advisor group as well. Did that answer your question, Roberto?
Yes. The vote is that, we haven't had many chances to function as a group as such, but I guess we could still circulate some ideas between the members. I have a sense that we haven't had enough of internal conversations among the groups, although I do feel that we made a lot of points that were not taken in the proposal. So, yeah, that's why I was asking about what could still be done as a group.
Okay. I see Willie's hand is up next. Willie, if you're speaking, we can't hear you. You might be muted. Still nothing from Willie. So maybe what I suggest is maybe staff will check whether that's we'll try to reach out to you, Willie. And meanwhile, we'll take Jan, who raised his hand, and then come back. Jan?
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Mathieu. I'm talking into the phone and hearing my Adobe Connect, so let me try and move away from my computer a minute. I did send in comments already, written comments, and I think you posted them on the public comment. I had 14 comments at that time. I don't hear from your presentation that too much has changed yet since I submitted that 3 weeks ago. So maybe just for, if I had to choose out of those 14, the main ones that I have in mind, one was point number two, which was about how you maximize correlation between the ICANN community in the community empowerment mechanism and the evolving wider world of global internet stakeholders, so that the community, as it appears within ICANN, bears a relationship to the community, as in the wider community of global internet stakeholders, making sure that those two correlate to with each other well. So that's one. The second one that I would highlight, I suppose, is that the draft is strongly arguing for participation in the ICANN empowerment mechanism to reflect the functional, geographical, and cultural diversity of the internet. That's the wording that comes up. But there's nothing that's very concrete about what kind of concrete measures are going to be used to put these principles into practice. So when one looks at the SOs and ACs as they are going to be part of the proposed community empowerment mechanism, one sees functional diversity there because the different constituencies in functional terms are allocated places. But in terms of gender, language, region, etc., that's not clear how that's going to happen. A third is one that we've talked about at various times, and everyone acknowledges that the accountability of those who hold ICANN to account, so those people who are going to be on the community empowerment mechanism, they will hold ICANN to account, but how will they in turn be held to account? And we've talked about that many times, and everyone acknowledges that it's an issue, but actually working out specifically how that's going to work seems to be still something that's work in progress. And then the last point, just it sounds like Workstream 2 issues are going to be kept alive in the form of the CCWG continuing to work after the IANA transition is completed. Page 87 of the draft implies that that's going to be the situation, but I wonder whether you've talked about that more explicitly, definitively. The CCWG will continue post-transition moment. So those are the four out of the 14 points that I think, if you had to say, what are my tier one issues, that'd be those four.
Thank you, Jan. I think regarding the process, indeed what I described is the proposal that was put out for comment on May the 4th. And since then, obviously, we're in the public comment phase, we haven't updated the proposal. So the comments that you made on May the 3rd, we didn't really have time to rediscuss them with the group before we published. So they're, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're public comments number one in the public comment forum. So it's still work in progress, and obviously the points you're raising on diversity and the representation of SOAC is certainly going to be one of the items of discussion after the public comment period. And the other question you're raising in terms of process is what about after the transition? So we have two work streams. We're currently focused on work stream one, which deals with items that need to be in place or committed to before the INF transition. And we have started highlighting issues that will feed the work stream two. And so I am afraid our group might extend beyond the transition itself, because we are expecting that not everything will be closed before that date. I know it's only a partial response to your comments, but at least I think it's important to make this part very clear. Next in the queue, I think, is Nell through the CCWG ACCC nickname. Nell?
Yes, thank you. Also, I don't want to get too into the weeds, but I have a couple of general comments. First, I this one, which was touched on a moment ago, has to do with the accountability of these groups and how they're selected. And, you know, we can find ourselves in sort of an infinite regression of groups that oversee the groups that oversee the groups that oversee the groups. And I think that it's important that we be more specific about how, in order to participate, the groups have to be able to demonstrate that their own mechanisms for internal governance and for keeping their membership fresh and independent are sufficient. And also, my second comment is that with regard to our frequent mentions of transparency and the importance of transparency, I think we need to be more specific. You know, the fact that you know, we're talking about an organization that is core to the most transparency-friendly entity in the history of the world, and yet we don't have any specifics there about what the organization needs to do when there are, say, for example, proposed bylaw changes to make sure that they are widely disseminated. And I think we do need to have some specifics there about making sure that not only that they say, here, you know, we're doing something, but that they take specific steps to make sure that everything they do and everything that the advisory groups do is as widely disseminated as possible, even to the extent of saying that, you know, you have to have reached the following number of people or the following number of page hits or whatever to make sure that transparency is not just offered but is actually implemented. In addition, I think it may be worth considering whether some of the, I don't want to say the bylaws, but some of the principles are not subject to being changed in any way. And I think the inherent founding principle that this entity exists for the overall public good and not for the commercial benefit of any individual or group should be a core principle that cannot be changed no matter how many people vote for it.
Coming off mute. Thank you, Neil. I think those are very very valid points, the last one is striking and interesting. So at this call, we'll certainly recap about how we can make sure we track these comments and have them as inputs for process downstream. Willie, we're probably now are in a position to be heard.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Clearly, we can hear you.
Can you hear me? I have two questions. The one is, has the working group, when it comes to tightening up the principal section, discussed whether to include a commitment towards freedom of expression? The reason I raise this is that one of the accountability issues in the, you know, of who is the accountability forum accountable to, is to do with an accountability to certain standards or democratic standards. And it seems to me that having one is an important aspect of the kind of logical infrastructure that ICANN is the steward for. And that, in a way, it's a way in which an infrastructure underpins humanity's freedom of expression. And I was wondering if that had been discussed for inclusion in revised bylaws. The second point is that I don't quite follow in the discussion where some people are arguing for unincorporated associations, which seems to be the overall position of the group, that there's also an argument that individual chairs of SOs and ACs could assume that membership. I was just wondering if there's any clarity on that issue.
Thank you, Willie. I think regarding the item of freedom of expression, it's as was reminded in the chat by Becky. The proposal currently is focused on avoiding that ICANN gets into content regulation. Which, in a way, is actually trying to ensure that ICANN is not used as a mean to restrict freedom of expression, and that's the current state of the proposal. And regarding the question about who would assume membership, whether it would be chairs or unincorporated association, this is very much an ongoing discussion. And so that's that is I can't say it's a done deal and it's a closed matter. It's a very open discussion, and which obviously, if there are any inputs from advisors on that, that will be welcome. Thomas, you're next in the line.
Yes, thank you, Mathieu. Actually, I would also like to follow up on the comments that were made with respect to the accountability of the SOs and ACs. And I think we do have a couple of aspects in the draft report that should help raise the quality or the standard of accountability. For example, when we discussed how many votes there should be, we thought of allowing for one vote per world region. you know, so we came up with five, you know, so some of the parameters that we put into the report were based on a thinking with respect to inclusiveness, also the accessibility of the IRP, particularly when it comes to cost. So I think for our core piece of work, and David has also mentioned that we, in the chat, that we need to focus on the transition. I would be interested in what level of detail the advisors would recommend we put into this set of recommendations for work stream number one, because I think our issue with that is twofold. Firstly, we need to keep very focused on the sort of narrow task of dealing with work stream one issues prior to the transition and look at other aspects after the transition. The second aspect is that our charter is not broad enough for us to actually make recommendations on the makeup and the decision-making processes, the membership recruitment processes, outreach, etc. So I would be afraid that if we open this up too much, we would mission creep into something that's out of our charter. So, you know, maybe you could briefly get back to us and clarify what aspects you would deem essential for this very period that we are in, i.e. The period prior to the transition. Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas. I see Jan raised his hand, so it's probably a response.
Yes, indeed it was, Mathieu. Thank you. Just when Thomas was saying that the charter of the CCWG was not broad enough to decide the composition of the empowerment mechanism and so on, if I understood that remark correctly, well, who does have that competence then? Who will take that kind of decision, if not the CCWG, at least making recommendations to that effect?
Thomas? Direct response as well?
Yes, just briefly. I think that, or I understood your comment to be broader with respect to inclusiveness, with respect to other internet-related stakeholders and such. And I think that we can hardly prescribe for the SOs and ACs how they should constitute themselves, other than maybe giving some general principles that they should be inclusive, that they should be looking at gender balance, that they should be looking at geographic diversity, that they should engage in outreach activity. But, you know, we have SO and AC representatives on this call as well, so maybe they would also like to chime in and maybe raise a hand or put a comment into the chat. What I'd like to avoid is that that you deem something an essential factor which maybe we can't deliver on, at least not in this phase of our work.
No, but then you do have a situation where if the SOs and ACs delivered all women in their 20s, there would be nothing to do.
So I think we're
you've been waiting for another response from me, but I'm not sure to what level of detail we can actually go based on our charter as well as given the Workstream 1 mandate that we have. But maybe we should then leave it there and take it offline. Jan, your point is well heard. Maybe we can continue the conversation on that soon.
Yeah, I think this this point within in Jan's input and should be pursued, and there might be value in some offline exchanges to make sure we have a clear problem statement and check it with our charter correctly. And I think that's giving rise to some questions in the chat. I noticed a comment in the chat by Mel, which I think went a little farther than the initial input, because it went to and Mel on the chat is on the nickname of CCWGACCT, and that was about external accountability and the need for an explicit reference to human rights and democracy. I wonder, Mel, if you wanted to expand on this.
And just into process, I wanted to emphasize agreement with the points that Jan made, and I understand that at the essence of those points is the whole issue of whether the accountability is in a way internally or related to an external body, and that is what I feel is the point where the and that is an issue that we discussed among the advisors, but only found a very short reference in the document. And I think that even knowing the political reality that makes it difficult. The point saying we have here a basic point identified, because if it is not clearly identified, then you know we try to find solutions to that in a self-referential base, and that then relates to this point of circularity that was referred to recently of who are this body accountable to, and then it's accountable to whom, and who makes accountable those that make accountable. Because of the tautological nature of the lack of a clear external accountability. Now, related to that, whenever you have external accountability, and that relates to the incorporation via international treaty or via self-defined or under the U.S. laws, which is completely different, is the question of what are the values from which you derived a mandate. Because freedom of expression was mentioned, inclusiveness was mentioned, gender equality or whatever, which are values that we all cherish. Universal values, there is nothing more universal than the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And we should make it explicit that this is the principles and the values that ICANN stands for. And then, of course, you derive out of that the need for inclusiveness and freedom of expression, association, whatever. And so on in the functioning of the system, which is, of course, what you will value the performance against, don't make sense if it is not in relation to ultimately human rights and democracy, which is, implicit. They both go together.
Thank you, Roberto. I think the audio, unfortunately, was breaking up, but I think we captured, and please do check the notes on the if you're able to check whether we captured your points. But I'm hearing several advice to take that internal accountability issue into account. It is not a very easy task for our group at this point, so maybe that might be an opportunity for us to turn to you as advisors and ask for specific input on that external internal accountability and ask for specific suggestions that would fit obviously in our mandate on the topic, so that we maybe have a clearer view of what we could come up with. I see Jan's hand is up.
I was just going to say maybe as a minimum, at least an explicit acknowledgement of the issue in the report and some notion or some commitment to deal with it further in phase two or in work stream two would reassure those who might have concerns on this point. These issues are not, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are the INGO accountability charter and various other constructions that address these issues in some detail. And one could look at how far such principles might apply in the ICANN case. Maybe that's not Workstream 1 work immediately, but maybe part of the eventual report. If I understand it at the moment, these issues, a commitment to address these issues more systematically and carefully is not made, which can leave a skeptic wondering whether it will be put in the long grass and not addressed at all.
Thanks, Ian. That's a very constructive and I mean, the point is well made, and I'm hearing that it's a point that is shared by several advisors, so I think it really deserves the group's attention. So that's perfectly understood, and the way forward you're suggesting is definitely something we need to talk about within the group. I think this would be value, though, and that's illustrated by one of the questions from Keith in the chat, to make sure we're speaking about the same problem statement behind external internal accountability. And what I would suggest would be to take that one step further offline after this call, so that we go one step deeper into acknowledging what is the potential issue we would like to address when we use these concepts of external accountability, internal accountability, because they might not be shared within our group with the same understanding as yours, because we have such a diverse population. I think what I would like to do now, because we have a few minutes left, is to give the opportunity to CCWG members and participants to ask questions to advisors if they have, or discuss if they think some of the topics we have now would require further attention by advisors, and we will be able to ask them to you. Bruce, I see your hand is up. I want to note that the four questions that I saw you asking in the chat and we took notes are more clarifying questions on the proposal, so I think we will address them, rest assured. What I think is important now is probably give the opportunity to group members, if they have topics they think the advisors could bring input on, maybe to just reverse the setup and say, well, if you have questions you think the advisors, we should direct to the advisors, that would be a good opportunity. I'm obviously taking everyone by surprise, so no one's raising hands. Thomas, you want to ask a question?
Sorry, Matthew, I had to get off mute. Yes, thank you very much. I'm not sure who of the advisors would like to speak to this, but we recently had some discussion surrounding the question of enforceability of accountability mechanisms. And I'm speaking in personal capacity and not on behalf of the group. It is my understanding that we are tasked with the development of an enhanced accountability architecture, which includes robust enforceability. And is there anything, maybe some high-level principle or guidance that you can share with us with respect to this very aspect? I'm not sure whether that's too broad. I can go into more detail. It has to do with the possibility to ultimately enforce community powers by calling upon arbitration or courts. And there are some in the community, as I understand, that would not want courts to have a say in these matters. So maybe someone of you could speak to that. Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas. Any volunteer on that very easy question?
It sounds like you want a lawyer.
Will you?
On that one.
I have turned up.
Okay, sorry.
Oh.
Hello.
Yes.
Well, I think this is a very interesting question in the sense that it may be that the executive of the U.S. government in the form of Department of Commerce is handing over oversight and accountability. And in the proposal to the community of ICANN, but the courts, the legal or judicial accountability still remains in terms of the courts in California and I guess legislative accountability in terms of what's in the non-profit corporation legislation. You know, it's in the sense that it is the argument that the community should not be seen to be going to the courts for enforcement, and therefore arbitration is a better solution. Or is it really a way of perhaps avoiding the fact that there still is judicial accountability for ICANN even after the transition? So that, I don't know. I'm obviously the sky hasn't been party to all of the discussions. I may be not fully up to the question. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Willie. Are there any other sorts of questions or topics? If not, I would suggest we draw this call to a close. What I'm getting from this call is substantial and very useful comments that each of you made. In terms of practicality, Willie and Jan have already submitted comments. I would suggests that maybe based on the notes of the call, staff, we interact with you and provide you with support if need be, so that the comments that you've made and shared in this call can be submitted in the public comments so that they're shared with the wider community. Anyone can see them, and they get. We ensure that they get appropriate treatment in the analysis of the public comment. So my suggestion for that would be that we extract the relevant sections of the notes of this call, check with you whether that was indeed the comment that you intended to make, and then push it to the public comment forum so that we are certain we have we track them and provide a response. And the other aspect, and I think, is to provide you with a bit of clarity of where we're going. So the public comment period ends on June the 3rd. We will analyze the inputs, and until our face-to-face meeting, which takes place on June the 19th in Buenos Aires, and then we'll be discussing with the all parts of the ICANN community during the Buenos Aires meeting on the days that will follow. And the second public comment will then be organized. And so it is possible, it is quite likely that we may turn to you as advisors when drafting this second round of proposals, especially if we're confronted with diverging views or feel the need to benefit from your wider expertise to provide suggestions or external points of view before we finalize the proposals. And our hope is that after this second public comment, which would end in September, we would be we'd manage to provide final proposals for Workstream 1 for endorsement during the Dublin meeting of ICANN in October. So hopefully we do hope that some of you, at least as many as possible, can join us in Buenos Aires for that meeting, but also participate to the further stages of our work. Thomas or Leon, would you like to say a few things as concluding remarks? I am making a note as well of Keith and Suzanne's comments and support the addition of an action item for staff to send the advisors the reference documents of existing community SOAC structures and articles so that you get a view of their own accountability mechanism. And with that, I think with 2 minutes ahead of time, we'll be able to close the call. I'd like to thank you again for your time, for considering the proposals, and for the very thoughtful propositions that we've heard during this call, but also during the, with the submissions we've had already. And I'm sure this will contribute to enhancing our own enhancements of ICANN's accountability, and that this will make our final work product an even better one. So thank you all for your contributions. And I look forward to seeing you in Buenos Aires or talking to you over the next few weeks in our various calls. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that concludes today's conference. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.